It is rare that you meet women who talk so emphatically about the wisdom and the power and all the opportunity that comes with midlife, and especially around the menopause experience. Mostly we hear from other women, just how unprepared they were, or the lack of knowledge that they have around it, or the lack of support and resources. And our hope is to change that, of course, and make sure that women do feel like they have all the tools in their toolkit. But today, I am so fortunate to talk to Charlotte White Ema, who is the founder of Cascade Herbal Living. Charlotte came to me through a friend, and she really wanted me to connect with Charlotte because Charlotte has this incredibly positive and powerful attitude towards midlife and what's coming. But she doesn't just talk about midlife, and we didn't just start in midlife. She really takes us back to, our 20s and our 30s and how we sort of amp up for this critical stage in life, and how this, being this midlife woman is actually like a position of power, which keep hearing me say. But we bring with us all this experience, and we're caregivers because by nature we're very caring people as women, usually. But bringing all this together is like this perfect symphony of potential harmony in midlife. And I feel like the media and society has really made us dread this time of our life when really it's something to really look forward to. Women in midlife, the ones I have been so like honored to meet, are really embracing, their strength, their courage, their confidence, and they are pivoting and doing amazing things, or they're just finding their voice. But there's so many opportunities that really don't get put in front of us, and we have to do that for each other. I want you to tune in to my conversation with Charlotte. It reminds me of, the sunscreen speech for the university grad class. Just to look forward and to prepare for this, and how we can help future generations prepare and feel excited and positive versus full of dread and raging against aging. I hope you'll tune in to this incredibly inspirational conversation with Charlotte. Charlotte, hi, thanks for joining me.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Okay, before we get started, what is that gorgeous necklace you're wearing?
This it is citrine and yellow topaz.
Okay, does that, I know that has significance. I'm just not
It does.
educated on that.
It does. I don't know if you can see it, but
Yeah,
the
yeah.
cutting on it is actually like a Star of David.
Oh, it's
So I used to
beautiful.
wear a cross all the time. But this had a deeper significance for me, going back more into mystical roots, as to beyond Jesus, before Jesus, and then how he came onto the scene. So it just holds a lot of deeper spiritual resonance than just the cross for me now. So
I love that.
yeah,
Okay.
it was actually a Valentine's present to me, for me, to me,
From
from
you
me.
to
Yeah.
you. Those are the best gifts because you never have to take them back.
Right?
Right. So smart. I buy myself gifts all the time from my husband.
That's really smart. So I
Yeah.
don't have one of those anymore. So
Oh.
I find it's really important to nurture my soul and love myself in the absence of somebody else doing it for me. So
Well, ideally, we should have that as our first and foremost,
we should.
so that when we meet somebody, we're whole already, right?
Yep.
Okay, so
Yep.
this is a good segue into our conversation. First of all, Charlotte, where am I talking to you from?
I am currently in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Texas.
Okay, well, so Charlotte, you and I met through our friend Mary, who I met when I was in Jamaica doing my psilocybin retreat. She is a integration coach, and she talked about you all the time because I talked about menopause and midlife all the time. So she said, you've got to meet Charlotte because Charlotte's perspective is similar to yours. Finding the positive and seeing the opportunity in this new stage of life. So Charlotte, today in our podcast, we're going to talk about that. And what I love before we even dive into this is that you've kind of broken life down for women to ages and stages, and which is natural, but I like the way that you've set them up. So let's talk a little bit about the first stage of life, where I'm not saying that, you know, being a teen and a child are not significant, but like, let's sort of go into womanhood. Womanhood, mm-hmm. I didn't say that right. So let's talk about the 20s. How do you define the 20s?
The 20s I defined as your foundation years. These are the years where you're going to college, you're picking your career, you're quitting jobs, starting jobs, you're dating, actively dating, looking for your spouse, your one and only. And you're really sort of integrating that transition of going from having fun in your friend groups to really setting your foundation for where you want to go for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I feel like, you know, now that I am 55, I look back on my 20s and that really resonated with me when you sent me that, because I thought, yeah, that was really what that was about. I was doing a lot of figuring out. I was newly independent mm-hmm. and I was really trying to figure out what I wanted. And ironically, at the time, what I did not want was marriage or kids. I always wanted a child, but I did not want in my 20s to settle down. I was very career focused at the time. But regardless of whether you're looking for, you know, a relationship or a career or travel or whatever, you're right. It is when you are really setting down, laying down that turf for what you're going to build on top of that. And yeah. That's where I always think, thank God I didn't get married in my 20s, because my foundation didn't really change, but the rest of my life did. And I, if I had married the person and I was dating in my 20s, I don't think he would like me very much. We would have changed our minds very quickly.
Yep. Totally get that.
Yeah. Sure. But then, so then we move into our 30s, and this is like, yeah. I love what you call this.
This is our kingdom building years. This is the years where we are, if you've got children, you're picking schools and you're picking your core clique groups, whether it's church and your coworkers and your friends, and you're striving for, are you in the right neighborhood? Are you driving the right cars? Are you networking well enough? This is the years that you really build that kingdom structure. All the things that we think are super important to launch us and advance us into success. This is where you have a good idea of what success is, what you think it is, or what it ought to be, and then taking those major steps in doing that, whether it's continuing education, becoming a leader and a manager within your organization. If you have started your own business as an entrepreneur, these are the years that you're putting in the hours and the sacrifices to really set yourselves up well for your next phases in life.
Yeah, I love that, because I look at my 30s and I remember hearing in my 30s that people often change, like do major career shifts about three times in their lives. Mm-hmm. I think I did that twice in my 30s. My next major career shift was when I turned 50. But having that, like that foundation, right? And mm-hmm. having my kingdom, very small kingdom, but having those things in place really set me up to be able to do that. But really, I never thought of my 30s as kingdom building. But really, if you think about it, women are kind of forced to build a kingdom a little quicker too, because if you do have children, you know, in your sights, and you haven't had them yet, now, you know, that time frame is getting shorter for you, so you feel this pressure to really, really get it all done or miss out on the opportunity. So yeah. It's a really critical phase in women's lives. And like, I can see why we focus so much on women in this age group. They're under so much pressure. And I didn't realize how much pressure until it was over. And I looked back and thought, oh my God, I had to find someone to mate with and like settle down and buy the things and the house and the career. And like everything had to be locked and loaded because I didn't have that many years left to have a child. And I didn't want to be like white knuckling it, which I did end up by doing, but it is this intense pressure.
It is. It is. My kids are now grown and out of the house. I started very young, in my early 20s, like right at 20. But yeah, in the 30s, so much of it was just about your kids and getting them set up and soccer practice and this and that and maintaining your job and the home. And yeah, it was crazy the amount of hours and sacrifice and commitment to ideas and mindsets during my 30s.
Yeah, that's
For
right.
sure. I was tired.
Yeah, I bet.
Tired. I was
I bet.
exhausted.
Well, and you know, in today's society, like women are having children older. So
They are.
that kind of exhaustion and that shift can go into our 40s and for some of us even into our early 50s, because now we're dealing with teens and preteens and going through like the practices, the mom as Sherpa and Uber driver and it all in the mental load. But typically like the 40s, that's where we get into this sort of mental salsa because you have all this and now whammo, you have perimenopause.
Perimenopause.
Perimenopause, there it is. And I love that you
This
call it WTF because that's what I called it.
it is. It absolutely is. It's like, what is going on? I don't understand. I'm going crazy. I'm losing my ish. Like out. I'm losing control. The pressure. It's almost like the pressure cookers and that steam valve. You're not ready to open the steam valve, but it's going to open anyway.
Yeah, it's gonna blow.
So it is. It is. And yeah, these years I call the not necessarily the self-destruction years, but the if you're not aware, it can definitely be extremely challenging. When you're going through perimenopause, the hormones are changing. You start question for me personally, these are the years I started questioning so much, like, why am I doing this? This isn't fun. I don't like this. My kids moved out of the house in my 40s, and I'm like, I don't even know who I am. I have no sense of identity or self because now I'm divorced. My kids are grown. I became a grandmother at 38. My
That's kind
career
of
is
awesome. You have lots
shifting.
of energy for those little kiddos.
Oh yeah. My career was shifting. I work in a family business and as my big girl job. And so my relationship with my dad and my brothers was crap. And I imploded in my 40s. So I started perimenopause right at 40, right after my 40th birthday. I noticed my cycle was changing, like the timing. I ended back up with cramps and heavy flow, like I did as a teenager. And I didn't have the information. In my family, this is a taboo subject. We don't talk about this. This is low class conversation. We don't do this in my home. So my mother is of this mindset. Now think about that. I'm the second, third generation out of women's rights to vote.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So my mom went through the 50s and 60s. Technically, she went through two 50s and moved into the 70s, but she sort of skipped all of the turmoil of the 60s. But my grandmother was the first generation to vote, my mother, feminism, and then myself. And I think this is one of the reasons why women have been in such a shift to find their identities, because we've been allowed to have an identity outside of husband and children being your core purpose in life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that, along with having these conversations, has just opened the floodgate, so to speak. So my generation, like I said, I'm actually getting ready to turn 51. I didn't have anyone to turn to. And what few family members that I had, like aunts that had gone through these phases before me, are starting to talk about it, and they're talking about their doctors and hormone replacement, and they're doing all the Botox and the fillers and hair extensions because our hair starts changing, and just so many processes to try and avoid phase of menopause because it
Or
is a
aging.
huge, yeah, exactly. And it broke my heart in a way because I really saw their identity not solid and founded in who they are and the phase that they're going through. And I made a stand at that point. I was not going to do anything to try and avoid aging gracefully. So I don't know if you can see it. I don't dye my hair. I've got all my grays in here.
You have great color hair. You have very thick, luscious hair.
Thank you. I was really challenged by the Holy Spirit in my late 30s about coloring my hair and not aging gracefully when he had already started speaking to me about the phase and the transition of wisdom keeper. And I'm like, I don't even understand. And he's like, how can you stand for your children and your grandchildren as a woman of honor and grace if you can't even accept what your body is doing moving forward in life? And I'm like, okay, it took me about 6 months and we had some arguments and fights. I totally fight with God often. So, because he challenges my thinking. So I did, I cut my hair off at my chin and I grew it out and just kept it short until all the gray had reached the bottom. And then I grew it back out. So I quit coloring. Then I don't do any fillers. Now I do Botox. I have one eyelid that's a little heavy and I kind of want to try and not have to have surgery, but
yeah,
it sits on my eyelashes. So I do a little Botox across the brow line just to lift the brows. And it's been like 3 years since I've done it. So, but yeah, I didn't do any hormone replacement. I didn't do any bioidentical pellets or I didn't go to my doctor. I didn't try to avoid hot flashes, which I have to confess, my hot flashes have been my biggest teacher through this process.
Okay. What have they taught you?
To sit still in the moment amongst the chaos and to ask, what do I learn in this moment? So often in life, when things, that pressure cooker, that pressure comes on, we want to run and escape. We want to be busy. We want to be productive. We don't want to feel these feelings.
Yeah, we avoid.
And we do. Absolutely do. And my hot flashes actually forced me to sit in the moment and not look for an escape.
Yeah.
Because for me, my hot flashes would come on and sheer panic and anxiety would just...
Yeah.
I mean, I started looking for the exits to the room because I had to escape and get away. And for a while I did. And then I'm like, wait a second. This isn't just a hot flash. This is like a metaphor for how I operated my entire life. It was such an eye opener. So I learned to sit in the moment. So my mother's horrified. I have the
I have one. I have one. Where is it? I have one somewhere. I'll show you. Hang on.
Yes.
I have one.
Yes. Yes. I have one in my computer bag, in my office desk, in the console of my car, in three of my purses, in a drawer. I travel, and especially my international travel, I look for fans as souvenirs because I'm going to use them and lose them. My mother, every time I pull
it's a good feeling. Like, I can't believe how cooling it is, but also,
it is. I pull it out of my purse. My mother is instantly horrified because I've just signaled to the entire world that I'm in menopause.
Oh, no. You should put menopause on it. So when it opens, hey, hot stuff.
Look, Mom. Yeah.
Hot flash in action.
That's fantastic. But yeah, so now I've learned to just sit in the moment. I'll sit back. I'll take lots of deep breaths, regulate my autonomic nervous system from fight or flight. And then I really try to hone in on what is happening in the moment around me, who is present, where the Holy Spirit is in the moment, what the conversation is in the moment. And it actually brings this wonderful sense of presence while I'm sitting there and sweat is trickling down the back of my shoulder blade. It's great.
Well, I like this approach because I am more spiritual and agnostic. But regardless of your religion or background, I like the idea that, I mean, I don't know. Maybe some people believe in absolutely nothing in the world, but I do
That's fine.
believe in a higher presence, and I do feel like that's where my spirituality comes from. But I do love that idea that, you're listening to a message and you're challenging yourself to receive it. And also, I think it's okay to do a little Botox or do all the Botox or do none of it or do the filler, whatever. I'm the same as you. I have like the sagging eyelid and it drives me crazy because I feel like I'm doing this all the time, which gives me a
Right.
headache. But then I tried Botox and it pushed it down further. So now I'm like, I can't do that. But where I feel like, just to go back to that a little, where I feel like, and you talked about your aunts and your family and the women in your family, and I talk about this with my friends. I think it's fine. Obviously, it's fine for anyone to do what they feel feels good for them. It's just, I
Sure.
just want women to get into a space where we're not raging against aging. Like the problem with our approach to aging is that aging has been a very negative thing put in front of us as women. We feel like we're aged out, we're invisible, we're not important. All of a sudden, I think society thinks we lost our IQ and all our expertise, but we're actually the keepers of all this wisdom and experience. We do by nature become very good caregivers. Like
Yes.
why, but we aren't taught to lean into that. We're taught to run away from it, like you said, avoid it. So somehow when you get a hot flash or a gray hair or wrinkles, or you're putting on some hormone pounds or whatever is happening, we feel like we have to hide that from the world because it's a big signal saying we are becoming irrelevant, but we're
Irrelevant.
not.
Yes.
But we are
Yes.
actually becoming a reckoning. Like we are a force to be reckoned with. And I look at women, even on my podcast, I have women coming on who are in their 80s competing in international soccer championships.
Oh my
Like,
goodness.
because they have disregarded the expectations that as we age, we become frail and we become feeble. And none of the women I have met since I started this podcast are embody any of that nonsense. In fact, like you, they're all very like they find the power in this stage of life and they're confused because, it's kind of like, why do I find this a powerful stage of life when society's telling me this is a very weakened state of life? Like, what's happening here is very confusing.
It is. It is. And it almost seems a little alone.
Yeah, oh, very alone. Very alone. That's
Yes.
one thing I
It's
hear all
like,
the time.
am I strange? Am I weird? Am I missing something?
Yeah.
So,
Do I
yeah.
just like pain?
Right. And when you're having conversations, or when I have conversations with my girlfriends, and I went through perimenopause very early. I started at 40. I finished having cycles like at 46. Still have some hot flashes every now and then, hence the fan. But I've pretty much run through my entire process at a very early stage, and my girlfriends are just now starting it. And some of them, they're not talking about it. They do, but I can hear some of the stress starting to come in into their conversations about things, and I'm like, I wonder if we're if it's Perry
And
is
you
starting to.
didn't start Perry early. Perry does technically start late 30s, early 40s. It's just that we don't always notice it.
Right.
Like you might be the kind of woman who sneezes and has a baby, and I might be the kind of woman who has the worst labor in the world. You might be crippled with cramps with your period, and I might be like, oh, I had it for 3 days and I wear a light days pad and it was over. Like, so menopause is going to be the same, and so is peri, and so is aging, and so is everything. Like,
Yeah.
it's funny how women expect there to be this, like, from this age to this age is this, and this age to this age is this when it comes to the perimenopausal and postmenopausal years. But the reality is, it's no different than childbirth or, menstruation. Like, our reproductive health is all very unique to us.
It is, absolutely. It is for sure. I want to hit one thing that I heard you say. And it brought up this mindset that I've been challenged with. we've been taught that aging is such a bad thing, right? And so we end up as women warring against our own bodies. We wage war on our bodies. We speak very meanly to our physical form, weight, wrinkles, gray hair, this or that. I hate this. I don't like this. I wish I had a tummy tuck. I want bigger boobs. I mean, just constantly in a war state. And when women are frustrated, you carry that emotion inside of you all the time, even at a subconscious level, even though you may be fine for the day, but then you're like shifting in your clothes because you're uncomfortable. It's that subconscious dissatisfaction.
Yep.
I want to bring this point in. Do you know about water? Did you know water holds memory and the difference between structured and unstructured water is?
No, this sounds like a science lesson I may have skipped in grade 10.
Yeah, no worries. Water, when it is in harmony and in, they call it structured water, when it is harmonious, it actually holds memory of harmony, and the water molecules will look like snowflakes, very intricate, beautiful pieces of art. When water is in disharmony or discord, negative emotions will affect water, and the molecules look like atomic bombs. Now you and I, human race, are 70% water.
Yeah.
Think about how those emotions are affecting the water molecules in your body. So when you are at war with yourself in a constant state of dissatisfaction and disgust with your body about this or that, you're affecting the water molecules within your own body to whether they have harmony or discord. And the discord in your body actually promotes disease.
Wow. I never thought about that. Take water outside of our body and put it into the natural environment. How would you explain water that is harmonious in the natural world and water that is at a discourse?
Okay. So water in the natural world that is in harmony is water that comes from the rain, lands in, let's say, in a mountain area, and that runs down a brook and a stream. So as the water runs, the movement across rocks, it actually picks up information from the soil, the trees, the plants, the fish, the bugs, the rock movement that it goes over, and it creates harmony. You can pull water samples from many places across the world and see the different crystalline structures within them. Water that doesn't have it is water coming out of a water treatment plant. Like it has no structure, or it's in discord a lot of times because of the chemical treatments done to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really big difference. And you can Google this. There's actually a Japanese scientist who started the big water structure. And if you have like a Gaia subscription, there's also documentaries about water. It's really quite fascinating. And when you take those principles, those scientific principles, and apply it to the body, that your emotions can actually change the structure of water, just is fascinating to me.
Wow. And given that we are so highly, you know, comprised of water, that mm-hmm. does make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. So that's part of that campaign of learning to love and accept yourself. You know, to really hone your identity about who you are as a person outside of your marital status, outside of your children, outside of your work accomplishments. Like, who are you at your core? If you were stuck on a desert island and there was nobody there, you were not a mother, you were not a daughter, you were not a sister, like, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remove all of the filters that we put into our identity, and then that is the true identity of who you are.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. I think also to add some external factors to this, you know, we enter perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause at a disadvantage because we are, it like, it's just, like, I think our lifestyle is such a contradiction. We are always on the go. So we're eating crappy most mm-hmm. of the time, which is terrible for inflammation, which creates problems in our body, and we're stressed, and you know, we wear like working tirelessly and never having a break and not sleeping as a badge of honor, or we used
yep.
to. And then we wonder why we're gaining weight, why we have wrinkles, why all these things are happening. Gray hairs. I mean, they're all going to happen anyway. But to truly, I think, get our bodies into position for postmenopause, that's where I think perimenopause is the runway. So to kind of slow her down and say, okay, I'm about to go into another big transition in my life. And this one's really critical. So I'm going to take note of my current health and how I can optimize my body, my brain, and my soul for the next phase. We don't do that in our 20s because we could like go out all night and still go to work the next day and we're fine. We bounce back. We also believe that we are immortal. You know, when you're in your 40s, society starts to remind you that you're not immortal. In fact, they go the completely opposite way with it. And now we're stressed about it. So I feel like honoring yourself and embracing all that isn't just about saying, okay, well, I've gained a few extra pounds and like I love it. It's about understanding, are those few extra pounds healthy or are they bad for my heart? Because cholesterol goes up after a certain age and a decrease in estrogen. So like, this is where women need to like really learn about their bodies and then take this information and say, okay, so now I'm getting regular exercise. I'm eating well. I've cut back on the bad things that I really can't do anymore. I can't shake them off anymore. I'm going to get better sleep. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to really focus on my career and my mindfulness, and I'm going to focus on my mental well-being. Then we can say, okay, and I love all this. But when you're letting everything fall apart, it's hard to sit back and embrace it because you know in the back of your mind, it's not right. Something's wrong. Like you don't feel good. You probably don't look good because you don't feel good. So it's like this chain reaction, right? Like
that's the invitation.
Yes.
That's the invitation. Menopause is an invitation to take stock, to see what's working and not working, to really redefine the way we view ourselves and we view the life around us. Mm-hmm. This is the invitation to take all the things you've learned, because now mindsets are even getting challenged. At this point, you're like, why did I do this? Why did I think that was so important? Like I've spent 15 years doing this, thinking I would be here and I'm only here in my career. Like what is, why? Why does that seem so significant?
What's holding me back?
And now what does that say about me? Am I a failure? Like, so there's all these other things that are coming into play as menopause and the hormone changes are manifesting themselves. And I really think it is that invitation to sit and let go of the things that serve and the things that don't, the things that are important, the things that are not, because we're being called into the wisdom keeper. We're being called into the new phase. Like you were saying, a lot of us think we just sort of shrug back and become frail, but this is the point in our lives, walking into our 50s, that we become the ones who share and stand and speak and go, you know what, daughter, granddaughter, my niece, who's now coming into life, let's redefine some things that you may believe that we as women in our 30s may have taught you wrong. So now let's redefine some things, and hopefully we can give our children and our grandchildren some better tools for their life coming forward. And so I think it's really, really crucial for us to, in our 40s, with menopause and perimenopause and into our 50s, to really let go of those controls instead of running away from them.
Yeah.
Instead of freaking out and trying to smooth everything over and replaster it back together. Because it's not just with our bodies. We do it with our children when they struggle and fail and fall on their face. We do it with our marriages. When you're now stuck with this man because your kids have moved out and you're like, I don't even know who the heck you are anymore.
Yeah.
Or who I am. And so now we're trying to plaster our marriage to make it look like it's still good, but really there needs to be some serious foundation reset. And so it's, I consider the WTF years like crucial, but they are so, so good.
Yeah.
If you can walk through it and steward well, the knowledge gained is just amazing. And then it's our job now to come and share and guide and teach.
Yeah. It's funny because like our mothers probably didn't, my mom didn't talk about menopause. She didn't have a lot of recollection because by the time I went through it, the time between us both going through it was so far apart, and her generation didn't talk about it or didn't know anything about it, really. That's what it was. They didn't talk about it because they didn't know they could. They didn't know every woman was going through it. The doctors didn't talk about it. But, you know, for my daughter's sake, you know, we do talk about periods and menopause. And I taught, you know, she's like, but how can you say it's a powerful thing when you're angry or you're, you know, you're apologizing because you got so angry or you're getting hot all the time? Like, yeah, but like nothing in life is going to be all this or all that. So you have to remember that, like, getting your period means your body is functioning properly. You have a power as a female human that most people don't have. Like, you can create. Like, yes, periods might be icky and a pain in the butt and you might get cramps. I get all that. But also look at the other side, right? Whereas I feel like we grew up with negative terminology around periods, like monthly visitor, and I forget all the negative terms now, but they just reinforced that it was a bad time.
Let's just even go to the fact, it started in high school for me. I'm sure probably same for you. You have a bad reaction and some jerk-faced little boy says, are you on your period?
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, I grew up with that entire connotation. I work in the automotive industry. It's male-dominated.
Yeah.
And those comments did not stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
My entire life, it's always tied to negative comment about my period. And now, standing in my 50s, I want to give everyone the bird and say, excuse me, that's where my power comes from. So yeah. don't make me less. Don't make me small. Like, this is really where my feminine intuition, my power, my knowledge actually comes from, the fact that I have a period and I create life.
Yeah. Yeah. I created your life.
Right.
Yeah. Also, let them know you could use temporary insanity as a plea in court. So
I mean, you know, watch it, it's fine.
Yeah, it's a very
balance. It's great.
But you know, our bodies are constantly in flux, and like that is a very belittling statement. It goes on into menopause, where, oh, you must be menopausal because you're not accepting this unacceptable behavior. Really, that's what it is.
So, yes.
Oh, yeah, it must be menopausal.
There's a reason it's called the midlife crisis. Let's talk about midlife crisis, but let's not talk about why it's a midlife crisis. Because our hormones are in a funk and our mindsets are being challenged.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely.
We're getting negative messaging about it all, right? So how can we approach it positively when we're being made to feel like it's the end? It's like, when really we've got another 40 or more years to live. We're only halfway there. We are literally in our prime.
Yep.
So, you know, throwing in the towel now, what a waste. What a waste of your life. And that's why I love your spirituality around this, but your perspective on this, because it is refreshing to talk about this. This is like that, you know, don't forget the sunscreen speech. This is it. We need this for menopause, because we're going to look back and say, wow, I wasted probably 2 decades fighting this, like pretending it wasn't happening, being depressed and miserable because I didn't want to associate with it. When really, hopefully, we can change that. So anyone else coming up to it is just like, it's menopause, whatever. Oh, I'm at that age now. I guess that's what's happening. Yeah. Whatever. I'll get into shape. I'll get, you know, I'll look under the hood. I'll get everything checked. I'll make sure I'm in great shape. This is a time when the kids are leaving the nest or not, or no kids, but you know, you've got more power, you've got more wisdom, but you definitely have more guts. I love that about this age. I have way more guts than I ever had.
The BS, it's just not as important. Again, it's that mindset challenge of why did I put so much effort into that?
Yeah.
It's a waste of energy and thought and control.
This is the peace that we have earned.
Yes. And it's so freeing because now I say a lot of things. I don't hold my tongue nearly as much. Like, all the filters get thin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there is some power to it. And I now have an appreciation for the elderly, where all of their filters are gone. I'm like, you go. That might be a little weird, but so great that you don't even have to think about.
You've earned the right to, you know, say
Absolutely.
what you want.
Yeah.
But I do think too, like when I look at, you know, women in this age group who, like, lots of them start a new gig, a new career, a new business. I get
Yep.
it. Like, the guts to do that. You need to have all those things behind you to do it. You have to have the confidence to know that you can. You have to be resourceful. You have to clear out the clutter and the negative self-talk because you're never going to make it. But that wouldn't have happened to me in my 20s, 30s, or even 40s. Like, only in my 50s, and not on my 50th birthday did I wake up and go, "Oh, I'm feeling way more confident and done with the BS." I'd say like it happened closer to 53, 54, where I was willing to start taking bigger risks, where I was caring less about, you know, what people said about the risks I was taking. I was like, "No, I got this." And I see why women really do a pivot at this stage of life sometimes, because you're just full of all this like passion and energy, and you're like, what next?
And you want things that feed your soul. Like
Yes.
we spent so long feeding everybody else's soul. Now it's like, oh, I want to light my own fire, you know? And
Yes.
what is it that gives me joy and peace? Because I sure as hell don't want to keep doing the stress and I mean, if you're not finding fulfillment in what you chose to do in your 20s through your 30s, then it's like, I don't want to do that anymore. Like
Yeah.
we start to realize that you are at the halfway point. Like these are the final years going forward. And now we're starting to see classmates and family members pass away. And we're confronted with our own mortality. It's like, well, shoot, I didn't like that so much. So now I'm going to do this because on my deathbed, this is I blew up my life in 2018 and have been in a state of transition since. Because here's my determining question. On my deathbed, am I going to regret not doing this, taking this opportunity, or am I going to regret not having spent more time in the office making more money? Like,
Yeah, I know. And I feel a tinge of privilege and guilt when I say that, because there are women who, for socioeconomic reasons, cannot do what I'm talking about. But there are other ways of embracing it. If you can't just pick up and leave your job, you still can find areas of your life that you would never have
hobbies.
explored before, right? And you do start to put your mental well-being, your physical well-being first, as opposed to very, very last, if at all, on the list.
Yes, but however, I think there are still a significant amount of women who miss the opportunity.
Yes, we do. I agree. And I think, like, what I would love to see is women feel that sense of power and just kind of like embrace it and think, oh, yeah, this isn't a fleeting thought that I'm having.
Or
Like,
feel like they're crazy and try and
yeah,
hide
or feel
and
like they're crazy,
suppress
or being told
everything.
it's a midlife crisis. It's not a
Yeah.
crisis at all. I
This
mean,
is a midlife blooming.
yeah, it is an awakening, and it's a really, I think it's an opportune time. I did go into, you know, my earlier years with postmenopause, I did go into it quite negatively, because I mean, I thought, wow, things were taken away from me. I can no longer have a kid. I wasn't gonna have a kid. I mean,
Right.
I was
But the fact you
47,
can't,
but it's just like having the things taken away from you. That's all I thought
the choice is
about.
gone.
The
The
choice is
choice is
gone, the
gone.
collagen is gone, the libido is gone. But I looked at all the negatives, and I wasn't told to look at the positives. And now that I'm looking at the positives, I'm like, what? Like, I should have gone into this better prepared. And so that's my hope for women who are just starting perimenopause. That's my hope for our daughters who are as young as my daughter is 12 or in their teens, not to be afraid of this, but to know there's something greater coming,
Yeah.
you know? And so, anyway, I can't tell you how much I have enjoyed this chat with you. I want to thank you for spending the time to share your learnings and the wisdom that you've received. And it, you know, I can just see it in your face. I can hear it in your voice. This is a very energetic and positive time for you. And, you know,
It is.
the state of transition, maybe your permanent state is always transition, and that's not a bad thing. It's very
It's
exciting.
not. It's
Yeah.
not. Yeah. I'm excited about what the future holds.
Yeah, and so you should be because you've got a big future ahead. There's a lot of years ahead and a lot of opportunities. So, Charlotte, thank you so much. I
I
really enjoyed
appreciate it.
our
The opportunity's been lovely so much.